الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A blessed praise, we send peace and blessings upon Sayyidina wa Habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said that every Friday, who sends salawat upon him, he responds to their salawat. In our authentic hadith, he said, there is an angel who delivers a book to me with the names of the people who send salawat upon me, and I answer their salawat and I mention their name, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Upon his companions and his family and those who follow them until the end of time. Once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, he was sitting with his companions and he said, Inna lillahi ahlin. He said, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has very close friends. And the sahaba, they became very excited and they asked him, who are those people that are close to you? And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ahlullahi ahlul qur'ani wa khasatu. The people of Allah are the people of the Qur'an, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Qur'an is a book which we should appreciate. Often teaches us foundational principles and very seldomly goes into details, as mentioned by Imam al-Shatibi. And what I'd like to do in the first khutbah, in light of the current political crisis in this country, the rebirth of white privilege on steroids, a president who seems to be unhinged, and in the face of this irresponsible rhetoric towards the most vulnerable in society, is to focus on two of those foundational principles. And then in the second khutbah, we'll talk about our position vis-a-vis the current attempt to keep people busy and stoke fears around immigration in this country. The first foundational principle was mentioned by a great scholar. It was mentioned throughout history, but around 100 years ago in Syria, may Allah free Syria and bless our brothers and sisters in Sham, Ahadu Sham, Khayru Anam. Teacher used to say to me, the people of Sham are the best people. And Sheikh Al-Qasimi, he said that the decline of the Muslim community really starts to take shape. And I want you to pay attention to this. When they turn everything into barakah, everything is about atabarruk, yani bihad al-asha. I seek barakah in everything. So I seek barakah with the Qur'an, I seek barakah with Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I seek barakah bil awliya, I seek the barakah of the ummah, I seek barakah of the shuyukh. Where barakah, as one of our teachers used to say, ذيل التفقه barakah. He used to say, you know, the tale of understanding and learning is barakah, meaning barakah is the atf and the knowledge is the ma'tuf. Meaning that the barakah is not the imam. The imam is al-ilm wa tafaqquh fi al-deen wal-amal al-salihat. The foundational principle that we should allow to push us to undertake anything is to understand and practice, and the outcome is barakah. Why is this a problem? The Sheikh, he says, because, you know, people will read the Quran for barakah, but they won't read the Quran for understanding. Whereas the first, and I said this in Arabic, that understanding is the head and the blessings are the tail. Meaning, the blessings follow the understanding. So when everything becomes barakah, that allows me to dismiss the greater responsibility of developing individual, institutional, and communal policy around the foundational principles of Islam. No, I'm just looking for barakah. That's why one of our sheikhs said, "Ananiyatul barakah fitna." That the selfishness behind always trying to get barakah is a fitna for people. Because I'm just looking for barakah. Let me explain this a little. Surah Al-Kahf, we all read Surah Al-Kahf today. You ask people why? Barakah. No. How is it that we could be reading Surah Al-Kahf in America now, with the economic stratification that we see in this country, the tremendous racial affirmative action now being attacked this week? How could we be reading Surah Al-Kahf and not extracting powerful lessons about the material versus the spiritual? Right? Equality versus injustice. وَلَوْلَا إِدْخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The challenge of opulence. All those lessons in Surah Al-Kahf. But if I dismiss all that just because I want to seek barakah, this is why the Sheikh said it's a problem. I'll give you an example. A sister, a brother actually today, sent me a question on Snapchat about Surah Al-Kahf. Out of all of the lessons to be found in Surah Al-Kahf, and that's why the outcome of simply seeking barakah without seeking understanding and responsibility is that we ask questions that are successfully irrelevant. What was the question this person asked me? What kind of dog was it? Like, subhanAllah, yani, out of everything that you read in the chapter, why? You think you're going to go find barakah with this dog? Like when you read Surah Yusuf, and one person asked me, where was the shirt, like Nordstrom's Rack? Was it, you know, like really? The same thing also with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't read hadith for barakah. We read hadith to understand and live. And the barakah is an outcome. And the same thing with our ulama and our awliya. This becomes even more of a problem that we outsource our religious responsibility through seeking the blessings of righteous people. First of all, huwa a'lamu biman ittaqa. Only Allah knows who's righteous. But I'll give you an example of this. When we're only looking for barakah, we fail to maximize resources. Like someone who drinks protein doesn't want to work out. I was in a city recently, I was sitting with some people, and they were telling me, mashallah, man, our imam is so awesome, and he's like such a righteous person, he's so pious, he's like so pious, so much barakah, this imam. I knew this imam, he went to Azhar, and it wasn't Imam Atif. And I said to them, really, what classes does he teach during the week? And they said to me, we have no idea. What? He's so much barakah, but you don't attend his classes. So much barakah, but you don't take benefit from him. This is what the Sheikh he mentioned when he's saying the danger of using barakah as an alibi to excuse myself from learning and practicing. The second foundational principle, and this is very important, that we find in our sacred texts, is the danger of the contradiction between words and deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. You ask people to do good, you don't do it yourself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah As-Saff, لِمَا تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كَبَرَ مَقَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Why do you say what you don't do? It's hated to God that you say what you don't do. One of our teachers used to say, ikhlas, sincerity, is the constant struggle to limit the gulf between your words and your deeds. Why do I mention this now? Because we are in a state in this country. The future of America is incredibly diversified, inshallah. It's going to be ethnically diversified. and the challenges that this country faces are going to be diversified. But if we're only looking to the barakah of the Quran and the barakah of the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, we will not be able to calibrate a message that speaks to America. And this is extremely important now. The state of religion in America is such that people need answers. But if we're simply looking at it for barakah and not for application and not for policy and guidance, then we'll fail to serve this country and fail to serve our own communities. When someone asked me about Surah Yusuf, you know, what kind of shirt was it? I say to them, do you know that Sayyidina Yusuf was part of the prison industrial complex? And they always go, man, I never thought about that before. Yeah, because you're looking for barakah. You're not looking for responsibility and solutions. Did you know that Sayyidina Yusuf was an abused child? Abuse is a problem in the Muslim community and outside of the Muslim community. Do you know that Sayyidina Yusuf was a trafficked human being? This is how the Quran now becomes relevant and alive and speaks to our situation. Because if we continue to argue about what the Quran meant to people 400 or 500 years ago, we will not be able to calibrate solutions for people today. And if we're busy simply reading the Quran and Hadith for barakah, but not seeking to answer questions of this age, we'll fail to live up to the legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the third, if we continue to denounce Trump, yet we act like Trump in our houses. If we continue to denounce Trump, but we ourselves have attitude towards people of color, towards the poor, towards the weak, towards the most vulnerable, we buy into the dominant social theory of this country, which is not the majority, but is a successful minority, rooted in white privilege, then we are actually cursing ourselves. And that's why Sayyidina Umar used to say, "Kam min an-nas." How many people read the Quran and they curse themselves and they don't know it? And how many people read the Quran and they praise themselves and they don't know it? Because they read something that acknowledges something they're doing, or they read something that acknowledges something they're not doing. Imam Hassan al-Basri, why do we love like these early scholars? We need to appreciate what the age of dictatorships has done to scholarship in the Muslim world in many places, as well as acute poverty and lack of sustainability. That's why for American Muslims, we see now what's going on with regimes partnering with the Islamophobes, regimes partnering against the people of Palestine. We can no longer trust scholarship from those places. We have to manufacture and develop our own scholars in America. America is one of the few countries I've seen in the world where its community is constantly looking across the ocean for answers. But we see now that those have been compromised by dictatorships. And what did dictatorships do to the Muslim world? They divorced theology and religion from social causes. And that's why we don't see a liberation theology. I mean, how long are we going to sit and watch Syria suffer, man? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The people of Iraq, Yemen, which no one is talking about, is being bombed by Muslim countries with weapons bought from here. Where is the Martin Luther King Jr.? Where is the Malcolm X? No, we have Adi Juma. We have people who openly encourage the killing of citizens. We have people, I lived in Egypt during the revolution, who came on television, whether Sufi or Salafi or whatever E you can imagine, all these easy E's, saying, do not participate, stay at home, eat your food and falafel. The divorce of theology and religion from social crises and economic injustices is a well which American Muslims cannot afford to take their theology from anymore. Imam Hassan al-Basri, why is he loved? Not because of barakah. Barakah is the outcome. But Imam Hassan al-Basri is someone who understands that he has to synthesize his religion to serve the most vulnerable and to be just. That's why Imam al-Bukhari, I want you to remember one hadith today that I say. Just remember this hadith. Who said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as related by al-Bukhari, you are helped by God according to the weakest amongst you. The Prophet takes social stratification and turns it on its head. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Imam Hassan al-Basri, he understands the danger of the contradiction between the limbs and the words. Some slaves came to him. And they asked him, give a khutbah about freeing slaves. He said, inshallah, next week I'm going to do it. They came the next week. And he didn't give the khutbah about freeing slaves, and they did what everybody does nowadays, except then they didn't have Facebook and Snapchat and IG stories. They went and slandered Imam Hassan al-Basri. Imam is a sellout. Ba'a dinahu bi thaman bakhs. Sold his religion for nothing, his scholars for dollars, you know, whatever they could say about him. And a year later, one of them came to his masjid and he gave the khutbah about freeing slaves. And all the slaves were emancipated that day in the city. And he came to Imam Hassan al-Basri and he said, man, why did you wait a year, man? It was like a year. Why did you wait a year to give this khutbah? And whether you agree with him or not, his principle is interesting. He said to him, I never had a slave before. I'm a scholar, like I don't participate in this. But I've never had a slave before. And when you ask me, I realize that if I were to tell people to free slaves and I didn't have a slave, my words would contradict my actions. But there's a problem. I didn't have enough money to buy a slave, so I saved money for about a year. I went to the market this morning before my Friday prayer. I bought a slave and freed him in front of everyone so that I would not contradict my words, would not contradict my actions. If we're going to vilify the Trump administration, but we have actions in our lives which run parallel to the ethos of the Trump administration, we stand as hypocrites in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bi asma'ihi kulliha. وصفات العلا أن يهدينا إلى ما يرضاه سبحانه وتعالى كما نسأله أن يجمعنا مع حبيبنا كما آمنا به ولم نراه صلى الله عليه وسلم أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. We mentioned these two important principles, Quranic principles, principles from the Sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, education before and action before seeking blessings. You know, that's why the Prophet, when he would take, for example, a new convert, he would say, Allahumma faqih fi ddeen. Oh Allah, give him understanding, give her understanding of religion. Right? Wa qur rabbi zidni ilma. Increase me in knowledge. The second foundational principle that we talked about is sincerity. Innama al-a'malu binniyat. Wa innama likulli imri'in ma nawa. Right? Everybody, their intentions, their actions are based on their intentions. Niyatul mu'min khayrun min amali. Some of the scholars used to say, you know, the intention of a believer is better than his or her actions because the foundation is the niyyah. With all that in mind, we mentioned the danger of seeking barakah in dismissing responsibility in interpretation and providing answers for people has two catastrophic results. The first is we become irrelevant to the society that we live in. Where is our message now on immigration? We are a community who our calendar is based on migration. It's called the migration calendar, Hijrah. We're a community who in our spiritual DNA is a dedication to immigrants and refugees. Because almost every prophet was a person of color And almost every prophet was an immigrant or a refugee. Sayyidina Adam, قُلْنَا هَبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. He and his wife were refugees to this dunya. Sayyidina Ibrahim is a refugee. Sayyidina Nuh is a refugee. Sayyidina Yusuf is a refugee. Sayyidina Isa is a refugee. Sayyidina Musa and his people are immigrants and refugees. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is forced to leave his land and go to a new place. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where is the op-ed by that young brilliant Muslim in the LA Times? Don't wait for the sheikh. The sheikh has barakah. Barakah is not an excuse to be lazy. And barakah is not an excuse not to follow your passion. One of my teachers used to say, if everybody waits on barakah, there'll be no barakah. We are a community who, we have a group of people called al-muhajirin, the refugees, those who migrated. We are a community who, just like in America, read the history of a people in Yathrib, which became Medina, who were a minority, like white America is becoming, who were fearful of their economic future, like white America in the Rust Belt, who were exploited politically, like white America in the Rust Belt, who were fearful that they would give up their political power, like white America in the Rust Belt. But there's a difference. And not all white America in the Rust Belt is the same. Instead of reacting with fear and falling for a toxic populism, these people in Medina opened up their hearts, opened up their pocketbooks, sacrificed their homes, sacrificed their wealth, sacrificed their institutions and their power for immigrants. وَيُثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. They prefer to others to themselves. And as is historically proven, except through catastrophes like war and the bubonic plague and other things, that immigration usually improves society. And that's what happened in Medina. The diversified challenges that the people of Medina faced found diversified answers when the culture of Yathrib and Medina married with the culture of Hijaziyin. The lugha of Banu Tamim and others in Yathrib combined with the lugha of Ahlul Hijaz. You have, in the next 10 years, because migration lasts around 10 years in Medina, until the Prophet ﷺ hijrata ba'd al-fat, as he said in the hadith, there's no more migration. You have an improvement in the health of the people of Medina. You have an improvement in their economic situation. You have political stability. You have stability brought to their families. So we are a community tied to a prophet who his community is invested in welcoming immigrants, in opening up their hearts to people who are most vulnerable. And we believe through this comes barakah. So now when you go back to work or you're sitting with a coworker, I believe a good khutbah is the khutbah that lasts after the khutbah. You can go back to high school and talk to your friends about what your preacher talk about, or you can go back to work and someone can ask you, hey, you know, what was your sermon about today? You have some talking points. And those talking points are, number one, that we as Muslims believe that the weakest amongst us bring the help of God. Number two, that we believe that we are spiritually indebted and obligated to support and help the most vulnerable who migrate and choose America as their home as American Muslims. And thirdly, my wife, you know, her family migrated to America probably 80 years ago. I live now in Brooklyn, New York. From our house, you can see the Statue of Liberty. And she told me that my great-great-grandfather, when he came from Lebanon, landed at the Statue of Liberty. I think his name was Farouk, and they named him, you know, they gave him Frank. But every single one of us in this room knows someone or has a relative who came to this country. So the third piece is, yani al-jazam and jins al-amal, to give back as we have received khair to support those who want to come to this country. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open up our hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us provide true solutions for the challenges that face America. We ask Allah to make us a blessed community that brings light and barakah and justice and responsibility to this country. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us realize our greatest responsibility is to find solutions and understandings from our sacred texts through our actions that lead to barakah. Because if we don't, I said two things and I only mentioned one. We'll fail to be relevant to America, and we'll fail to be relevant to our own youth. That's the outcome of seeking barakah without seeking understanding. It's catastrophic. A failure to have social agency within this country, and a failure to have religious agency and context with our young Americans. Hassan al-Basri, watch what young people do right now. He understood something. If he took a certain position, it would bring about a challenge. Now we have Colin Kaepernick. Everyone here should not watch the NFL, support the NFL. You didn't get a team anyways. They went to Las Vegas. Yeah, you did get a team. You got the San Diego Chargers. God help you. But not to get played. If we're really going to stand with Colin Kaepernick, then we shouldn't participate in fantasy football this year. We shouldn't participate in the NFL this year until he's signed by somebody. Because he's not being signed, not because he's not the best quarterback. I mean, he's got some issues. But we know why he's not being signed. Just like Hassan al-Basri. Now see the young people paying attention? This is what I meant by cultural relevancy and agency. If we fail to find the relationship and intersectionality between our theology and the problems of this country, we'll be irrelevant to the people of this country and our young people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the people of Palestine. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them justice, to give them peace, to give them freedom, to give them dignity, to give them humanity. We ask Allah to give them Al-Aqsa as a place where they are free to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in justice and liberty. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Syria, in Iraq, in Pakistan, who just in the last week has experienced tremendous political challenges. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. The history of Afghanistan is rich with great contributions to Islam. The greatest scholar in Sahih al-Bukhari was a woman named Fatima from Herat in the 10th century. We ask Allah to bless them, to bring them peace, to bring them liberty, and to bring them integrity. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Bangladesh. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Central Africa, where there is a silent genocide happening towards the Muslim community through famine, which is challenging their existence, but also a very aggressive form of evangelical Christianity. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us supporters and allies. We pray for the women in this country who still face tremendous patriarchy, and within our own community, to make us as allies to our sisters. We pray for Black America. This masjid should have a sign in front of it that says Black Lives Matter. So humble nasiha to you. All lives matter, but all lives can't matter if Black lives don't matter. Especially within the framework and the history and trajectory of America. We pray for our convert brothers and sisters. May Allah bless you. Bless your parents. Bless the relationships that you're struggling to organize and hold on to. We pray for our youth. We pray for our new married couples and those who are going through marital challenges. We pray for our elderly brothers and sisters who feel lonely, who may be battling sickness and disease and are scared what that means in their life. May Allah make every pain you feel, every suffering you experience, a means of your hasanat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pray for our Imam Atif and our Sheikh Muhammad. May Allah bless him and bless their families. We pray for this wonderful community. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.